Mr. Berry, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is John Berry, and I represent the appellant, Michael Schieser. There are two issues before the court. The first issue is whether the Court of Appeals erred in determining the factual basis of appellant's guilty plea of no contest was sufficiently supported by the evidence. The second is whether the Court of Appeals erred in using the pre-sentence report to make a determination as to whether there was sufficient evidence to uphold the finding of guilt. Mr. Schieser was traveling from Wisconsin to California through Nebraska. He was stopped for a traffic infraction. Law enforcement smelled marijuana. They searched the vehicle with Mr. Schieser's consent. They found $23,000 and a little bit of marijuana, a very small amount. And then there was also a passenger. During this time, Mr. Schieser admitted the $23,000 was his and said he wanted to take responsibility for it. Mr. Schieser was then charged with two felonies, one for possession of drug money and the second for aiding and abetting the consummation of a felony. Pursuant to plea agreement, Mr. Schieser pled no contest to attempted aiding and the consumption of a felony.
What is that? How do you do that?
Sure. So, sir, pursuant to...
What would be the elements?
Right. So there has to be an attempt. So there has to be an affirmative act or step toward intentionally aiding another to secrete, disguise, or convert the proceeds of a felony or otherwise profit from a felony. And we know from State v. Hansen...
What's the felony?
Well, I think that's the question here. The state never proved a felony. And that's my argument. We know from State v. Hansen that aiding the consummation of a felony is concerned with conduct that occurs after a felony is committed. So the state's theory was that the felony occurred when Mr. Schieser was transporting this $23,000 to California to allegedly buy marijuana. The problem is this. Is if Mr. Schieser had $23,000, was traveling from Wisconsin to Las Vegas to gamble, it wouldn't be an issue.
Counsel, during the taking of the plea, did the district judge say to your client, do you disagree with the factual basis or do you agree with the factual? What was the allocution at that point between the court and your client? Because typically, the judge won't accept a plea unless the client acknowledges there's some sort of factual basis, even on a no contest plea.
Well, correct. In this case, Your Honor, my recollection of the facts is that Mr. Schieser made some statement that basically was he understood what was going on and he wanted to plead no contest. I don't believe that he made any.
So he didn't contest the facts at all?
He did not contest the facts at all.
What facts were described at the plea hearing?
So at the plea hearing, it was basically that the car was stopped, that there was $23,000 found in the vehicle, that there was evidence that Mr. Schieser had traveled back from California to Wisconsin in 2014, and that there were packing materials or shipping materials in the vehicle.
So I guess I'm back to what's the felony?
And that's my question. I mean, I think what the government...
What's a felony? Who did it?
Right, and so where did the $23,000 come from? We don't know that. That wasn't established. And so what the Court of Appeals does is they say, well, we have some information in the pre-sentence report that Mr. Schieser handed his passenger $1,000 in the back of the car, and therefore there was a felony because handing the passenger the $1,000 is aiding the consumption of a felony. The problem is we don't know what that $1,000 was for. Was he handing it to him for bond money to get him out? We have no record of that.
The $1,000 to the passenger is found in what part of the record?
Okay. And let me back up. That was found in the pre-sentence report, in a police report. But once again, we don't know.
It wasn't at the plea hearing.
No, I don't believe so, Your Honor. But once again, we don't know the purpose of $1,000. So we can't say that handing someone $1,000 is further aiding the consumption of a felony, because consummation of a felony, because we don't know. We don't know what that $1,000 was for. or why he gave it to him, only that he handed it to him in the back of the police car.
That happened in the rest.
That is correct, Your Honor. So, essentially, even if the court had brought up $1,000 at the time of the plea hearing, it wouldn't matter, because it still doesn't establish that a felony occurred. Someone handed the passenger $1,000. For what basis, we don't know, and that cannot be sufficient.
What was stated in the information charging him with this felony?
And I don't recall if there was an amended information, but essentially my recollection was that it was the generic that he had, in Nebraska had aided provided.
No specifics at all?
My recollection is there wasn't. What I don't recall is whether there was an amended information or whether it was done by interlineation. I don't recall.
Okay, thank you.
Counsel, during the plea hearing, didn't the prosecutor say when you said located shipping labels, went on to say all consistent with the distribution of controlled substances, and then the prosecutor went on to say the officer believed that this money was also used or were proceeds from the distribution of controlled substances. Wasn't that on a factual basis too?
That was, but the officer's beliefs are not facts.
Are what?
The officer's beliefs are not. There wasn't a factual basis for the officer's beliefs.
Well, but your client didn't contest any of that. I mean, the officer, the foundation is laid, could testify at trial. I believe this is for distribution, not for personal use. So how's that not a sufficient factual basis?
Well, once again, because there's no, whether there was marijuana for distribution or personal use, that wasn't the issue because no large amounts of marijuana were found. So all that was found was $23,000, which tested positive for marijuana residue, but of course that makes sense because there were user amounts of marijuana in the vehicle and they were smoking in the vehicle. So in terms of the officer's belief that it was a theory. That fact was a theory. And it's not a theory is not, I believe, a fact for which you can provide a factual basis. It's just a theory of a police officer who conducted investigations.
What's the event that is the aiding or attempting to aid?
Well, the government.
What is the action?
Right. The government's theory was that the action was transporting this cash to California to buy marijuana to send it back. When the facts didn't support that, the theory then changed and was picked up by the Court of Appeals that it was the act of the aiding the consummation of a felony was handing $1,000 to the passenger in the backseat of the cruiser.
Counsel, I'm confused. What did your client think was going to happen when he had to plead a no contest to this charge, and he knew what the factual basis, what the police reports was, he knew what the evidence was against him? What did he think was going to happen? Is that relevant?
I don't think it is, and I wasn't trial counsel at that point, so I don't know what he was thinking. I don't know how those conversations went. I'd like to save the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you. Ms. Vincent, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Is this just a one-issue case?
What's that?
Is this just a one-issue case?
Yes. Well, he's raised two issues in the CFR. May it please the court, my name is Melissa Vincent. I'm an assistant attorney general, and I represent the Appalachians of Nebraska. Shieser raises two issues on appeal. I'll address the second issue first, because since the first issue is largely dependent upon the resolution of the second issue. Shieser claims the Court of Appeals erred in relying on the PSR to establish the factual basis for his plea. It's well established that the factual basis may be established by inquiry of the prosecutor, interrogation of the defendant, or examination of the PSR. That's been the law in this jurisdiction for the past 45 years, and frankly, I don't know why he finds it objectionable.
Are they okay to look at the PSI in the normal case?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
That's your position.
Okay. Plea hearings do not occur in a vacuum. A lot of things happen before a defendant enters a plea, and one of those things is discovery. And it receives police reports, lab reports, witness statements, etc. And is well aware of the state's evidence, or what the state's evidence will be before he enters the plea. And oftentimes that information is included in the PSR. But to the extent the defendant relies on that information in determining whether to enter a plea, I see no reason why the court should not be allowed to do the same.
What let me, is the, what's felony?
Felony that was aided in, that aided in consummation of, I believe it was possession with intent.
It was what?
Possession with intent to distribute.
By whom?
Well, it would have to be Schizer, because if he was, or Schizer, I'm sorry, I keep pronouncing his name wrong. Because he has to aid another, that's the element of offense, he has to aid another consummation of felony, profit from the consummation of felony. He would have to aid his passenger, Michael Bakke, profit from the felony.
Is that what the Court of Appeals found? It was distribution? Or did they find it was giving $1,000 to the passenger?
Well, they found that that was the act, but they were, I think what they were saying was, look, we know these are drug proceeds. What happened is, the felony from which the proceeds came, and then came in. That's a separate act. Consummation, or aiding the consummation of the felony, is a separate act. And that
do you,
is the
do you agree that the giving of the $1,000 is the event?
I think that could be, but keeping in mind, of course, this is an attempt, so it doesn't require a completed act.
Does it matter if the felony may have occurred in another state?
Well, that's the one portion of the opinion, honestly, that gave me a little bit of pause, because not being prosecuted for felony or where the money came from, especially if it happened in Wisconsin. Now, it's not clear from the statute, the way it's worded, that the felony from which the person or the person has aid consummation of has to occur in this state. Having said that, however, I think a lot of state criminal statutes can be local in character and don't necessarily have extraterritorial effect.
Let me try it this way. If you could tell me as simply as possible, what did the defendant do that was an attempt to aid the passenger in the consummation of a felony?
Well, I think that's what they found was, the Court of Appeals found that it was giving money, because there has to be some
is that
act.
Your position? That's the action?
Well, I think it would have to be. I don't know what else aiding the consummation of a felony, unless you were just to assume that they somehow split the money.
Okay,
but
so
something had to have occurred here.
So the defendant gave $1,000 to the passenger, which can be found in the pre-sentence.
That's
report,
correct.
Not at the plea hearing, right?
No, it was
and
not
then
brought
out. And then what was the felony?
You mean the felony, the underlying felony?
That, yeah.
I think it was probably possession with intent to distribute, which explains how they came in.
Who committed that felony?
Well, Schizer, or Schizer. I think that's the implication, based on the evidence.
Now I'm lost. He gives the passenger some money.
Right, but that's a separate act, and that's the difference, is that when you're talking about aiding the consummation of a felony, the question is what felony was consummated. Because as this court pointed out in Hansen, the difference between aiding and abetting a felony and the difference between aiding and consummation of a felony is timing. If it's aiding and abetting, it's something that has to be done either before or during the consummation of a felony during the commission of the felony, but aiding the consummation of the felony is something that occurs after the felony has been committed. So I think that's Mr. Berry's bone of contention here, if you will, is, well, what felony was committed here in Nebraska that was aided, that he aided the consummation?
Well, let's say the court could get beyond that, there's a felony out there somewhere.
Sure.
And $1,000 was given by defendant to passenger.
Right.
Okay. That giving the $1,000 is the event in Nebraska.
Yes.
Okay. And it's done, according to the state, to aid in the consummation of a felony.
Right.
And your view is the felony is trafficking in drugs, wherever that commenced. And now my question is, who did that?
Right. Schizer, probably.
So he's aiding himself?
No, he's aiding another to profit from a felony. If you remember the facts of the Hansen case, there was a woman, the defendant, Enter. She owned property with another individual.
Well, ultimately, in Hansen, we said Torres, the person who set the fire, had done the felony, correct me if I'm wrong,
sure.
And that Torres was taken on a shopping spree, and
correct.
That was the aiding in Torres' ultimate connected to Torrey's ultimate underlying felony.
Right, but as I recall, the argument that Hansen made in that case was, hey, I'm essentially a principal with this arson too, and now you're saying I'm aiding the consummation of a felony, and that's where the distinction between aiding and abetting and aiding the consummation of a felony came in. And so she aided him in otherwise profiting from that felony by taking him on a shopping spree. Now, I suppose...
But the Court of Appeals says, well, you could have two co-principals. You could have driver trafficking in drugs. You could have passenger trafficking in drugs.
Potentially, yes.
Okay. And what evidence would there be in the record that passenger had trafficked in drugs?
Well, I believe there was a jailhouse phone call from Cheeser and someone else where he made an assertion that of this $23,000, $6,000 passenger. And of course he was traveling out or from Wisconsin out to California with Cheeser, and then Cheeser was going to purchase a plane ticket apparently and fly him back to Wisconsin. So there was some sort of an arrangement there for them to share. That part's not entirely clear.
Is the state's position that passenger committed a felony?
I don't know if he was ever charged. And honestly,
I don't think that would be a different case.
Yeah.
So quite apart, say like in Torrey's, from an arson. So was the state's position that the passenger committed a felony?
Well, I think he was the one who aided. I'm sorry.
It's not
he
simple.
Was the one who profited.
Okay.
I think that's so you have the felony, which resulted in the drug proceeds.
A felony by passenger?
No.
No. No felony by passenger?
Well, I don't know. That part's not clear because Cheeser was...
Defendant aided in the consummation of a felony, and I'm trying to figure out what felony and who several people did it.
Right, and he had to aid someone else to drop it from the felony. So I think if he committed a felony and he gave money to that passenger, aiding that person in profiting from the felony.
And going back to opposing counsel's statement, if defendant gave the money in Las Vegas at the roulette wheel, there's that money again.
Right, but that gets back to the information that was contained in the PSR that suggests that these were in fact drug proceeds. This wasn't just currency that he had,
right.
Because recall, and I don't know if you'll recall this.
So I'm sorry, is he giving the passenger the money as part of the passenger's share of the felony that was being committed? Is that what's going on here?
Well, see, that's not entirely clear. It's like, well, did he give him the money because he wanted him to have money to bond out? Was it part of his share if they were, in fact, together? That part is not entirely clear. I'm not sure.
Well, but we kind of need to know that going back to the factual, there's a factual basis for the crime of which he stands convicted.
Right. Well, I mean, I think if you draw inferences favorable to the state, get the court to inference that he gave money, bond money, or for him to otherwise profit without really getting into whether or not he was actually a co-on the distribution.
Well, is it logical that they may have sort of been co-conspirators? They're traveling across the country together, theoretically with a bunch of money obtained from drug deals?
Sure. Yeah, I think that's probably, that would certainly be a reasonable inference. They got a lot of the information that they got about Cheeser and where they were going and what was happening, him having the growing operation out in California and stuff came from his passenger. Cheeser was pretty tight-lipped about the whole thing. A lot of that, you know, he didn't admit. Saying, well, I was just along back when I got out there. So anyway, I see that I'm out of time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time to rebuttal?
He has 1 minute.
1 minute and 45 seconds, Mr. Berry.
Thank you, Your Honor. In looking at the pre-sentence report being used as a factual basis, I looked at several of the cases. Cervantes, the plea to the underlying offense was not an issue. This was about habitual criminal issue, and Mr. Cervantes admitted to being a habitual criminal. The pre-sentence report was just used to supplement.
But in Cervantes, we discussed whether or not the priors were, met the standard, like did you have a lawyer?
Correct.
Something like that?
Correct.
Okay. It was explored. It was habitual, and then the court explored the bona fides of the priors.
Right.
What about Wilkinson? How does that impact your argument?
I mean, I think that it supports my argument insofar as, obviously, the defendant has the right to challenge the factual basis, even though he pled no contest.
So let's say the court gets past that, and you're on deck.
Okay, right. And so, once again, then it comes back to, well, what evidence do they have that a crime was committed? And I would argue, even with the pre-sentence report, there wasn't sufficient. But if we look at some of those other cases, like State v. Hyslop, the defendant, I believe he pled no contest, but the judge asked him, well, did you do A or did you do B? And he said, well, I did one of those. And so there was at least an admission beyond just a plea of no contest, and the judge provided the factual basis. We know in State v. Legear, L-E-G-E-A-R, defense counsel can't give the factual basis. That case was overturned. But we know in State v. Legear, L-E-G-E-R, that a guilty plea is fine if the defendant also provides a statement. In that case, the defendant provided a statement, and later there was some supplemental information found in the pre-sentence report, so, but his statement alone was enough.
What do you believe is the crime, that the underlying felony in this case?
Well, my argument, Your Honor, is there wasn't an underlying felony. If there was, it didn't happen in the state of Nebraska.
Is there any case law to support that argument that the felony has to occur in the state of Nebraska?
I mean, from a jurisdictional standpoint, I found some cases that said, look, to prove venue, it has to happen in that county, unless it's a violent offense, and it can occur, I believe, under other circumstances. But the short answer is, I didn't find anything, but that's why we have federal courts. And this could have been a federal drug conspiracy case if that evidence existed.
Who did the felony? What do you understand to be the state's position as to who committed the felony of which your client stands convicted of aiding afterwards?
So my position is the state thought they had a drug money case, possession of drug money, a class 4 felony. I think that might have been what they were trying to push, but they know they couldn't prove that. So that is, this was the result. They knew they couldn't prove it, so they went the alternative route and looked at a different factual basis of the handing over the $1,000.
So it's the event is handing over the $1,000 in Nebraska for whatever legal significance.
Correct.
And that's found in the PSI.
Yes.
Okay.
In the police.
Right. And who did the felony for which this $1,000 was consummation in aid of after?
I have no idea.
Thank you.
Are there other questions? Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. The next case.